Yes, today my country is going to be one of the biggest days in Venezuela history. For the past 25 years, we had people there, and me, I was part of it. We have lived in a dictatorship, and I really pray to God that it comes to an end. I don't think any player has spoke about this, but I really pray to the U.S. government to keep an eye on it, because they're going to do whatever they're going to do to stay in the power. But the country is speaking, and we all want the change. And it's really, I got really emotional, because last night, I know what's going to happen today. It's really tough for all the Venezuelans, and especially for me, because I had a chance to play for Venezuela, and I didn't, and I regret that. But today, I think it's one of those days where my emotions were there, and I'm really praying to God for a complete change in Venezuela, because all the Venezuelan people needs that, and we need the change for good.
You know, when you're in the dugout after a game, and this was after, I think, the night that Goldschmidt hit the home run and we won the bottom of the ninth, whatever, the St. Louis Cardinals, the press pool goes over to Wilson Contreras, DH and catcher for the St. Louis Cardinals. He had gotten, like, visibly emotional, was crying on the field, and the press responsibly asked him, what's going on? Well, Contreras is from Venezuela, and he was talking about the election that was about to happen. And the impact of what is taking place right now in Venezuela is something that the world should be watching. There might be ties to what's going on in the United States. I don't know. We're going to ask our expert about that in a second. But I found it very interesting that Contreras, a Venezuelan, looking at the elections that were about to take place, since then have taken place, now the country is in protest all over the place regarding those results. This is an incredibly impactful thing. And that is the type of emotion that comes when you have the ability to escape a dictatorship. That emotion stays with you. Let's get to our guest. Jim Carafano joins us once again, senior counselor to the president and E.W. Richardson fellow for international engagement at the Heritage Foundation. Jim, welcome back. Good to have you.
Hey, it's great to be with you. I would say this is a surprise where we are, but it was absolutely 1,000% predictable that this we were going to be at this day. And to me, what's mostly shocking is that we have a U.S. government which was totally unprepared for this.
So can you explain, you know, Maduro, a dictator, I was trying to follow this as it was going on. It didn't look good for him, but then all of a sudden he claims victory. Then a lot of things get shut down in the middle of the night. And then there's a proclamation of victory the next day. And now it looks like even people who are on Maduro's side in the streets are starting to potentially take over or to go in with the other protesters that they were supposed to be policing. Where is Venezuela right now?
We don't know. I mean, this is often the way with dictatorships. I always recommend that people read Natan Sharansky's book on the case for democracies. One of the things about dictatorships is it's all based on this premise of control and power. And because it's controlled and power, there's no transparency. And even the people running the regime don't know how fragile or how firm their control is. And so that's why when these things do collapse, they collapse suddenly. And it's a surprise to all of us. So whether we're at the day where this regime, literally the people supporting it walk away and Maduro is, or not, remains to be seen. I mean, don't forget, the last time these guys got in trouble, they flew in a bunch of Cubans and other people to prop them up. So the Cubans, the this is not an isolated regime. They're backed by narco traffickers, the Cubans, the Russians, the Chinese, the Iranians. So they have lots of cards they can call on for help. So whether they can do that and oppress the population and put down the violence, much the way the Iranians have put down multiple popular uprisings in Iran under the Ayatollah, we don't know. I don't even think they know until we see what happens.
I mean, we're not going to see, my assumption, my probably ignorant assumption is, Maduro's not going to go, I lost, and then turn over power. Right. I mean, it seems like if it's either the dictatorship continues or there's going to be a lot of violence, likely death and destruction that's going to take place in between Maduro's dictatorship and whatever comes next.
Well, I mean, there could be, he could maintain control and get a lot of violence, because you have to remember, he is not isolated. He always has access to the Chinese and the Russians, the Iranians and the narco traffickers. So if he survives this, claim of winning an election, there will be people who will bail him out and keep him in power. we just have to look at it from a grossly U.S. perspective. Venezuela has been a monumental problem. It is one of the platforms for massive human trafficking in the United States from all over the world, narco trafficking and criminal gangs and everything else. So Venezuelans have been exporting disaster into the U.S. for years. The Biden regime had a strategy of engagement and alignment, that we figure out a way to engage with people, we figure out a way to have common, and then we, you know, and that's going to take care, and it's clearly not working. I mean, it hasn't worked anywhere. It didn't work with Yemen, didn't work with Iran, didn't work with anybody. And this one's right in our own backyards. And what's stunning about this is they gave a whole bunch of things to these guys, and they said, oh, you'll hold free and fair elections, right? And they said, oh, yeah, sure. And of course, nobody thought they would, and they didn't. And now our administration is just literally the leader of the free world is a guy in Argentina, right? The president of Argentina. Mm-hmm. He is literally rallying the free world in support of Venezuela. When the guy and girl that are supposed to be the leaders of the free world, they're basically sitting in Washington, and I don't know. I don't know what they're doing. Maybe they're watching the Olympics. They don't have time for this. I don't know.
Well, I think about the American government's interest in what's going on in Ukraine, pushing back against Putin. You've listed off a lot of nefarious players or not friends of the United States that are in support of status quo in Venezuela. What would you like to see America do to aid or involve themselves in what's going on in Venezuela?
Yeah, I mean, look, what you always do is, look, I don't believe in regime change. I don't believe in nation building or any of that junk. But I do believe in supporting people that want to speak for themselves. So this is a problem that has to be solved by the Venezuelans. We could put enormous pressure to cut off the things that help Maduro stay in power. And we've done that before. And, you know, timing is everything. I mean, if we did that now and we did that in a massively aggressive way, the government, I would think that would contribute to the government falling. Yeah. Or we can just sit back and look like yahoos, which is kind of what we're doing.
Let's shift gears to the Middle East. Fox News reports the Israel Defense Forces announces that they carried out a strike in Beirut on Tuesday, targeting the commander accused of orchestrating the recent attack on a children's soccer field. The IDF said that its forces, quote, carried out a targeted strike in Beirut on the commander responsible for the murder of these children and the killing of numerous additional Israeli civilians. It seems as though in the last 24, 48 hours, things have escalated in that region. What's taking place?
Yeah, I wouldn't say escalation, because what's interesting about this strike is it was designed evidently to be proportional. Somebody did something, they went after the perpetrators. It wasn't like the Israelis launched a broad preemptive campaign against Hezbollah. So it still seems that they are trying to ward off Hezbollah. You know, everybody knows that Hezbollah is 10 times the military that Hamas has, a much bigger problem. But if Hezbollah wanted to pick a war with Israel, the time to do that was when Israel was bogged down with Hamas. The Israelis are free to be more demonstrative in facing Hezbollah because they pretty much kind of wrapped up the Hamas problem in Gaza. That frees up resources and then turn north. So, yeah, Hezbollah has a lot more military power. Yeah, they can do a lot of damage, but now they're also facing, you know, pretty much the full might of the Israeli military. Do they really want to do that? My guess is what we saw today is that the Israelis think not. So this is a hammer blow to tell the Hezbollah to back off. So, you know, the interesting thing is none of this would happen if it wasn't for Iran, which, by the way, was another example of an administration's strategy of engagement and alignment, which didn't work, right? Mm. But Iran, they are perfectly willing to fight to the last Lebanese or the last Palestinian.
Yeah, it's different stakes, different values. I mean, when you're talking about Venezuela, when you're talking about what's going on in the Middle East, it seems as though there's always a common few names, but specifically Iran is what is what always seems to be at the epicenter of these conflicts. And I can't help but look at the policy, the very heavy hand that the previous administration took towards Iran. And then if you go back another administration to the Obama administration and compound that with the Biden administration, we've had very dramatically different approaches to how we handle the Iranians. Does that play into what's happening in the world?
Yeah, I'm going to say this, and look, I always, you know, I always say this 1,000 times. I'm not partisan, not Republican, not a Democrat, don't have a dog in the fight. But, I mean, to me, this is one of the frustrations of this particular news cycle, which is we have media and everybody basically focused on painting this amazing narrative of Harris, who's now the presidential candidate, and ignoring the reality of Biden, Harris. So, you know, we've had two things in the last 2 days. Literally, she's the one that stepped forward and said, oh, I'm really worried about, you know, children dying here. And, well, the day after she basically said, you know, I'm for Hamas and Hezbollah, what happened? Well, the day after, Hamas refused the ceasefire deal because America just gave them a signal that they've got their back. And then the day after that, Hezbollah does an attack and kills a bunch of kids. So if you want a demonstration of poor judgment in foreign policy, that's kind of it. Everything in the Middle East got worse a day after you basically gave the green light to the bad guys. And she, you know, she can deny this, but she was the partial architect of the engagement policy in Latin America, which was supposed to help secure the border. And that policy, as we saw with Venezuela today, isn't unbelievably abject failure. Now, look, I'm not telling you who to vote for, but those are legitimate issues to be discussing in the news cycle. Mm-hmm. Look at the direct consequences of your leadership as a foreign policy leader. And yet nobody really wants to talk about that except you and, you know, a couple other people. And instead they want to have a narrative about, isn't this historic? Isn't this great? Isn't this wonderful? Don't we have another, you know, kind of wonderful shining moment here, which is all about narrative, the spinning a narrative of the candidate and not talking about judgment, policies, and character, which in my mind are the things that really ought to matter when you pick a president.
We're speaking with Jim Carafano here, and I'm curious, you know, all I go back to in my mind when the Vice President Harris was being asked about the border, have you been to the border? And she's like, we've been to the border. And she said, well, I haven't been to Europe either. And I'm just thinking like, wow, what a statement about somebody who's potentially going to end up being the president of the United States. It doesn't seem as though she has the real life experience of engaging across the world and being in these areas and understanding them. It gives me pause.
Well, I agree. Okay, you, there are lots of places in the world I haven't been to that I talk policy about. You've been the vice president for 4 years. By your own admission and by the president's admission, you're a key member of his leadership team. You agree with everything he has done, and we don't have to talk about your travel plans. I don't even care if you've ever touched the border, but we can talk about the policies that have been implemented for 4 years and ask the kind of question that normally, you know, is the question we ought to ask, which is, am I better off than I was 4 years ago?
It's a very simple question to ask. I want to ask you a question about one other topic, and I don't know how much of the hearing on the Senate that you were able to hear today about the Secret Service, but I wondered your thoughts on the massive system failure, maybe something more that took place when Donald Trump was shot and somebody else lost their life.
Yeah, so I actually have an observation on this. I actually haven't heard a lot of people talk about it. Everybody gets the first part of this comment, which is, look, these guys really only have one job. I mean, there's some other stuff they do, but they exist for one purpose, to protect candidates, to protect high officials, to protect national. That's the only purpose they have in life, and they failed at that. But not only did they fail, the attack that we had is actually reflective of almost every presidential assassination attempt we've had in history. It's not Carlos the Jackal. It's not some super complicated Mission Impossible plot. It's somebody thinking they're going to go kill the president, doing something that it, like, ought to be stopped. Like, this should not work, right? This is kind of a stupid idea. Like, go in a in a high security event and then just think, well, I'll just go up there and, you know, shoot him, right? So most security is actually designed to stop people just like this. The people who are more, I would say, lucky than good, because that doesn't sound right. But yeah. What I'm saying is, it's not designed to stop Carlos the Jackal. Mm-hmm. It's designed to stop the crazy Yahoo who wants to make a headline by killing the president. So they have not only failed in their basic mission, they failed against exactly the kind of plot that they know they have to deal with. They nobody was asking them to stop, you know, this Mission Impossible team with disguises and secret weapons. They were asked to stop a guy who's 20 years old with no military experience, with no operational experience, who learned how to do all this stuff basically, you know, on, well, I guess, watching YouTube, and an AR-15. And they failed. This is such a catastrophic failure. This would be like the invasion of Normandy and the army forgetting to show up. That's how bad this is.
Is it easily fixable?
I can only presume, because I don't know, I don't have facts, that when you have an organization that is purpose built for a purpose, and it's funded to do that purpose, and it utterly catastrophically fails, that it's a problem of leadership. So the answer is, if that's true, then the answer is, yeah.
Yeah. Change the leadership. Jim Carafano, thank you. We love talking to you about these things, and you always provide a lot of insight. We're grateful for it. Thanks for being here.
All right. Thanks for having me.
Bye-bye.
See you next week.
Yep.
Bye.
Next week. Jim Carafano, senior counselor to the president and E.W. Richardson Fellow for International Engagement at the Heritage Foundation. A great mind on these important topics. I'm very proud of myself that I got all three of them in. It went a little bit long. Scott Pressler is going to join us when we come back. You've heard him here many times before. He's the founder and an executive director of Early Vote Action. He's the hardest working man in politics. Scott Pressler trying to win Pennsylvania for Trump by registering voters. Go to earlyvoteaction.com on the break here, and we'll talk to Scott when we come back.
The idea that men can gather to talk about how we feel. Interesting, powerful concept. And to include all, we said in our invitation, everyone is welcome. That's a really interesting phrase. Everyone is welcome. You might hear it in other places. I'm pretty sure you can feel that it's true here with this particular political party and this particular candidate.
He sounds really confident. He's really selling it there. That's Rudy. He made Notre Dame's football team. It was a huge underdog story. He's trying to apply that to Kamala Harris with a thing called, let me make sure I get this right, White Dudes for Kamala Harris. I think they're out DEIing themselves. I think DEI they've been so successful with DEI so far that now they need to have outreach to white dudes. I don't get it. This is what the left is trying to do to bring people into the tent. They've isolated white men so much that they actually now are trying to get Samwise, the troll, what is he called?
He's a hobbit.
Whatever. All I know is Elijah Wood cries way too much in that movie. It's not for me.
You need to calm down there, Mr. Frodo.
No, you need. Yeah, exactly. You need people who have spirit. You need people who have energy, and you need to have people who have clear focus, not just like maybe we should talk to white dudes. It's not enough. And the Republicans have the best in the business in all of politics. Scott Pressler is that guy. He's the founder and executive director of Early Vote Action, earlyvoteaction.com. Go check it out right now. You'll be glad you did. Scott, thank you so much for making time for us today. It's good to have you back.
Oh, thanks, Danny. Well, you've had my back throughout the years, so.
Yes, of course.
Appreciate it.
You know, Bucks County that you flipped? Tell me the story of your work in Pennsylvania, but specifically that county, because you're seeing real measurable success that a lot of other people just talk about.
Well, like you said, this is tangible. So 4 years ago, Democrats in Bucks County, Pennsylvania, which is just outside of Philly, they had an advantage of 15,000 more registered Democrats than Republicans. And this county voted in 2016 for Hillary Clinton. This county, Bucks County, voted for Joe Biden in 2020. And so the fact that today there are 300 more registered Republicans than Democrats, meaning a shift of 15,300 to the right in just 4 years.
Wow.
In a state where Joe Biden, quote unquote, won by 80,000, this is no less than monumental, monstrous, earth-shattering. And here's the interesting thing. So we get data for Pennsylvania every Monday, every 7 days. And so, you know, after Joe Biden was forced out of his role for the Democrat nominee, which was very undemocratic, and now that we have the presumptive Kamala as the Democrat, you know, the quote-unquote astroturf enthusiasm would make you believe that, you know, all these voters were coming out now and registering to vote for Kamala. Now, despite this, Republicans in the last week continued to have a net gain statewide in Pennsylvania, and we increased our lead in Bucks County, despite it being the swing county outside of Philly. Mm. And so I'm here to tell all the doom and gloomers or the naysayers or the people that think that Kamala has all of this enthusiasm is we are not seeing those numbers translate in Pennsylvania.
Scott Pressler's with us right now on the Annie Fry Show. You need to check out earlyvoteaction.com to see how you can be a part of this. And, you know, Scott, I live in Illinois. Hopeless. It feels hopeless. We'll see how Chicago handles the convention here in a short amount of time. Missouri, a pretty solid red state. We've got our primary coming up, but it's presumptive that the Republican primary winners will likely go on to win the general election. But there's a lot of work to be done in Pennsylvania, added Michigan, Wisconsin, Arizona, Georgia, other places like that, Nevada, maybe even Minnesota and Virginia. Who knows? What do you want to tell people listening right now in the bi-state region, Missouri and Illinois, about the effect that they can have on this actual election? Of course, they need to go vote on Election Day or leading up to it. What can they do to help you?
I need help registering voters, even in Missouri, even in Illinois. But if you are saying, Scott, you know, I know the state of Illinois, and I would much rather help in Wisconsin, or Scott, I'm in Missouri and it's so red, what can I do to help Pennsylvania? Well, one thing that makes Early Vote Action different is we have our own app that you can download via iPhone or your Android. And it's a free application that you, even from St. Louis, Missouri, can write postcards that you get at Wally World or get on Amazon, whatever, or send text messages. Just don't send too many because I don't want your phone to get spammed by the Democrats. Or you can make phone calls literally from the comfort of your home into Pennsylvania. I provide you with names and addresses and scripts, or I provide you the name with a text message and a pre-populated script. I couldn't make it easier for you to be empowered from the comfort of your home to help register voters or get out the vote in Pennsylvania. And it's been these efforts in part from even people in California. Marcella has written 2,500 postcards into Bucks County, and
Marcella
is a grandmother. Oh, no, she get it, girl. She is a grandmother in California, has literally helped make a nationwide impact. So the moral of the story is you don't have to be an Annie Fry. You don't have to be a Scott Pressler. Be a Marcella. Be a mom or a concerned citizen that is writing postcards, helping to affect change positively this November.
No, that's inspiring for people to hear, because as an Illinois resident, I do what I can to help local races. We've, you know, got our county is red now, and we're working on some of the counties around us. But on a statewide effort and then voting in these national elections, it feels very hopeless sometimes. And this is a place to go. It's Early Vote Action. I have the app on my phone. I showed it to the camera on our live stream right now. This is a place where you can go and be a part of something, and you don't have to leave Illinois. You don't have to leave Missouri. Lots of active people in both of these states who want to be a part of a solution. But it's like, if you've turned your state red, like Missouri, or if you feel like we're many cycles away from doing so in Illinois, you can make an impact this November. I mean, you've probably got Marcellas all across the country that are helping with this app.
Oh, we do. And I want to make it clear that while we are celebrating the flip of Bucks County, increasing our lead, we're already on to Luzerne County. And we are about 1,500 voters away from flipping Luzerne County, Pennsylvania. So if you are just getting on board the early vote action train and the voter registration train, then I welcome you to help download the Early Vote Action app and click on Luzerne County, either for phone calls, text messages, or postcards. And you can be a part of when I announce in a few weeks our next flip of another Pennsylvania county from blue to red. And you at home can be a part of that.
A lot of times I'll talk to guests before I have them on here, just like, what can I promote? What can I do? This is not something that you and I have talked about. And I just want to point out, because it's so inspiring to me, of all the politicians, the people that are in the business, this is what they do for a living. Scott, I don't know how you do it. I'm looking at the Early Vote Action app right now, and I can't even find a place to donate to you, because there might be people who are listening and they're like, you know, I'm not going to write a bunch of postcards, but I'd like to send $100 or something like that to make the cause a little more effective. And it's not even on here. You are only asking for, you're just asking for people to vote for a better future. And I want to ask you very specifically, if people want to financially support you, is there an easy way for them to do it?
Thank you. Well, I will tell you that we now have a state director in Pennsylvania, Mayor John David Longo out of Butler, who was at the Butler rally where our president's life was, they came after him. And they're coming after all of us, and that's why this is so urgent we vote this November. But we also have 6 full-time staffers on the ground, and we are working at Early Vote Action towards having 18 full-time staff on the ground working on voter registration and boots on the ground. So if you want me to be able to hire more staff, please contribute at earlyvoteaction.com. Let me say that slower. Earlyvoteaction.com. And if you don't want it to go to silly advertising on television or brick and mortar, we are going to make sure that every penny that you donate to Early Vote Action is going to full-time staff to have direct face-to-face boots on the ground voter contact. And we also accept Bitcoin and crypto.
Nice.
I was there in Nashville at the Bitcoin conference, where President Trump said about a strategic stockpile and to sit on your Bitcoin, and that we're going to not have burdensome regulation like the Democrats and Kamala want to do, then you may also, we accept crypto at earlyvoteaction.com.
I love it. And I want people to make sure that they consider this as an opportunity to fund something that goes directly to getting people to the ballot box, earlyvoteaction.com. Before we let you go, we're speaking with Scott Pressler. He's the founder and executive director of Early Vote Action. When you're talking to people, because everything that you're doing here involves, I mean, it is as grassroots on the ground as you can possibly get. You're talking to people who might be considering voting for the first time, voting Republican for the first time. What are they concerned about? And what do they think about the candidates that they have to choose from?
Well, let me tell you, I understand that persuasion and conversion are important, but ultimately the Democrats are just better about getting their people out to vote. There are more of us out there. And so let me break this down for you very briefly. Joe Biden, quote unquote, won Pennsylvania by 80,000 votes in 2020, right? There are 80,000 Amish in Pennsylvania. So go to your farmer's market and register voters. There are 80,000 truckers in Pennsylvania, 3.5 million statewide. The majority of those truckers do not vote. Go to your service plazas. Go to your rest stops. Go to your truck stops. Get the truckers registered to vote and make sure that if they're going to be driving on Election Day, that they have a plan to vote. We have 800,000 veterans in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. That is a community that has served us, that is aging. We must make sure that they have a plan to vote, all 800,000 of them. And last, and probably one of the most important, we have 930,000 hunters in Pennsylvania. 930,000 hunters, and 30% are not registered to vote, Annie. If every single hunter, if every single gun owner in America voted and voted Second Amendment, we will elect Donald J. Trump and his vice presidential candidate, J.D. Vance. And so I need you guys to go to gunshowtrader.com, look up a local gun show near you, get permission to go register voters, and register everyone to vote. Go to your gun show, your gun store, your gun range. Make sure that our hunters are prepared to vote this November. And if we do all of those things and go to those places that I asked you to go, we will win and we'll save our country So get every single conservative, like-minded person that you know, get them registered, make sure they're an active voter, make sure that they're a registered Republican in states like Arizona, Nevada, Florida, Pennsylvania, New York, California, and make sure that they have a plan to either vote on November 5th, 2024, or to vote early in person or to vote by mail. We have 4 months to save our country. There is no going back if we are not able to win this November.
So I'm looking right now on earlyvoteaction.com. And it says at the top, voter resources. And then I see a map of the United States. And let's just, I'm going to pick Illinois. So it's a special place in my heart. I feel so bad about it. And then it just says, Illinois voter resources, register to vote. First name, last name, address, city, zip code, email address, mobile number. And then there's a button that says register to vote. Is it that simple?
That is the preliminary. Mm-hmm. The secondary is it goes to the Secretary of State website. So you do need to first find the state that you want to register. And then once you sign up with us, because we want to make sure that we get every person as a volunteer as well,
yes,
then you are directed to the SOS website. So it really is as easy as 2 minutes of your time. If you need to register to vote, go to earlyvoteaction.com. Or if you just simply want to register someone else to vote, because I'm a man that I just want you to get registered, type in California online voter registration, Illinois online voter registration, Florida online voter registration, and you will be able to use the Secretary of State website to register to vote online from the comfort of your home or electronic device.
So if you're walking around and talking to people, you just help them essentially fill out a form on the secretary. It's really incredibly simple.
Yes, it's so easy to get people registered to vote. And also, look, if you haven't voted in the last 8 years, then you may not be a registered voter. If you haven't even voted in the last 4, you might be an inactive voter. So I challenge everybody listening right now, check your status.
Yeah.
And it might be as simple as typing in Missouri, check voter status, Illinois, check voter status, and make sure that you're at the same residence that you are currently living at. Make sure that you're registered with a party if you would like to be. Make sure that you're an active voter. Now, the reason why early voting is so important is, let's say you haven't voted in 8 years and you haven't listened to this segment on the Annie Fry Show, and you go to vote. And you're told, oh, my gosh, Annie, you can't vote. You're not registered. You know, you haven't voted in 8 years. You were taken off the voter rolls. I'm so sorry you missed the deadline. That's why it is imperative. It is crucial that every person checks their voter registration status really monthly. I even do that for myself just to make sure that I'm registered, active. There's no shenanigans.
Right.
And when you vote early, if there's a problem, you have time to rectify it. You have time to provide a remedy to the problem versus waiting until November 5th when anything can go wrong and you've run out of time once you hit the 8 o'clock.
Earlyvoteaction.com. This is absolutely something, listeners, you ask me all the time, what can we do? This is what you do. You go to earlyvoteaction.com and support Scott Pressler. I am also asking you personally to donate to his cause because it will make a real impactful, immediate difference to continue to help Scott in his efforts, specifically in Pennsylvania. It's a big one, and we are so grateful that you're doing what you do and always want to help in any way we can, Scott.
Thank you. And I just want people be positive, be inspired, but more importantly, take action. Do something. Don't just listen to the Annie Fry Show and feel all good. I want you to go to join your Republican Party, become a precinct chair, help knock doors, help write postcards, but just do something, please, to save our country.
Yes.
Please.
Amen. And you are an inspiration to do that. Scott, thank you so much. It's great to have you.
Thanks, Annie.
We'll do it again soon. Thanks. Bye-bye. Scott Pressler is the founder and executive director of Early Vote Action. And the website is earlyvoteaction.com. You can download the app right now. I have it on my phone. I've had it on my phone. It's inspiring to watch what he's doing. But it's also, I don't want to say lazy, but you can't just watch what he's doing and be like, good on you, Scott. Let's all be our version locally of Scott Pressler. And the key, the number one thing you can do, and he's right to say this, is find your county Republican group. Wherever you are, find your county Republican group. You don't have to commit to something huge. Just get in touch with them. Have a conversation with them. They have the best people. I've worked with so many different county Republican groups, too many to name, and on both sides of the river. And you're wonderful people. And they need your help. So reach out to them. Usually you can find them on Facebook. Send them a Facebook message. Let's take a quick break. get Ryan Wiggins back in studio. Your results on the YouTube live chat poll, we're getting close to an hour away from giving you the results of this question. How do you see the attempt on Trump's life? Massive system failure or something more conspiratorial? Michael says on YouTube, I spent the last 13 years working for the DOD in some capacity. There is a lot of ineptitude at every level and in every organization. Not inspiring, but also shows that they're pretty much just like the rest of us. Let us know what you think. Leave a comment. Leave your vote. We'll be right back. I always have the intention of talking about something, well, almost always, when I come into a segment, and then we play a song like this, and then I'm thinking about Mannequin.
Ooh.
It's from Mannequin.
Is it?
I don't know that it's from Mannequin, but it's definitely in Mannequin. Oh, heck yes. I'm guessing 1986. Thoughts?
Oh, yeah. I'll go right with you there. 1986 sounds really good. I don't know what year Mannequin was because I don't remember the movie. I do remember there was a show on PBS in the early 80s that was about a mannequin that came to life, too. I don't remember the name of that. Was it Today's Special?
A movie in the 80s about a mannequin?
A TV show on PBS. Oh. About a mannequin that came to life.
I don't know, but we talk about these things that I'm like, now I know where my nightmares came from.
This is a good song, though.
Trying to find it here, and I can't find it. Like, broken on Google.
I'm going to search mannequin images.
What? Maybe not.
Mannequin.
The YouTube live chat poll for today.
87.
I said 86.
Yeah,
real close.
You were close.
Why are you much better at Googling than me?
I don't know.
Did you Google naked mannequin pictures?
I did. Naked mannequin pictures. It said 1987. Here you go.
That's why I was
like, oh, okay.
Googling
like, hold
the
on,
thing.
I got to take this. It's HR.
They're all bald.
I just put a wig on them.
Oh, okay.
Just rub some sugar cream on their head.
Oh, Lord. That's a callback.
Uh-huh.
To earlier in the show.
Get the podcast.
Don't just infer. YouTube live chat poll. How do you see the attempt on Trump's life? Massive system failure or something more conspiratorial? We played a lot of stuff from the hearing today in the first two segments of the show. I talked about it. Brad talked about it a little bit. Ryan?
I am massive system failure. The one...
I'm going to need that clip.
And make it... Put a little robot effect on it, too.
I am
massive... system failure. I think that if there is anything conspiratorial that I would entertain, well, I would entertain anything because I'll hear you. I may not agree with you, but the idea that he might have been groomed by somebody is interesting to me. I would like to explore that a little bit more and see more about that. But right now I'm saying this is a massive system failure.
You think?
Oh, I think it's a massive system failure. I think it's incompetence all the way around.
I do, too. And I'll lean into what Jim Carafano said, too, that it's leadership.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that this administration prioritizes the right things ever. I think everything is always political. I think everything is always political. And I think that the results are this, where the things that were supposed to matter the most weren't the priority ever. So, of course, you get massive system failures.
Yeah.
But going back to what we heard Rick Scott say and other people say in this hearing today, that if you don't come out with more information to squash this stuff, people's minds are going to run wild. Now, the YouTube poll, which I'm looking at results as they're coming in right now, is very close. We have a divided audience, so we need to know what you think about it. Get on the Annie Fry YouTube channel, vote in the live chat poll. Gary said, I voted system failure, but given the competency of the libs, this could have been what they thought was an ironclad plan. All right. Let us know what you think. Annie Fry YouTube channel. We'll give you the results in an hour. Don't go away. I always have the intention of talking about something, well, almost always, when I come into a segment, and then we play a song like this, and then I'm thinking about Mannequin.
Ooh.
It's from Mannequin.
Is it?
I don't know that it's from Mannequin, but it's definitely in Mannequin. Oh, heck yes. I'm guessing 1986. Thoughts?
Oh, yeah. I'll go right with you there. 1986 sounds really good. I don't know what year Mannequin was because I don't remember the movie. I do remember there was a show on PBS in the early 80s that was about a mannequin that came to life, too. I don't remember the name of that. Was it Today's Special?
A movie in the 80s about a mannequin?
A TV show on PBS. Oh. About a mannequin that came to life.
I don't know, but we talk about these things, and I'm like, now I know where my nightmares came from.
Uh-huh. This is a good song, though.
Trying to find it here, and I can't find it. Like, broken on Google.
I'm going to search mannequin images.
What? Maybe not.
Mannequin.
The YouTube live chat poll for today.
87.
80, I said 86. Yeah,
you were close.
Why are you That's so good. Much better at Googling than me?
What, I don't know.
Did you Google naked mannequin pictures?
I did. Naked mannequin that's, pictures. It said 1987.
That's
here you go.
Why I was
like, oh, okay.
Googling like,
hold
the
on,
thing.
I got to take this. It's HR.
They're all bald.
I just put a wig on them.
Oh, okay.
Just rub some sugar cream on their head.
Oh, Lord. That's a callback.
Uh-huh.
To earlier in the show.
Get the podcast.
Don't just infer. YouTube live chat poll. How do you see the attempt on Trump's life? Massive system failure or something more conspiratorial? We played a lot of stuff from the hearing today in the first two segments of the show. I talked about it. Brad talked about it a little bit. Ryan?
I am massive system failure. The one... Sorry.
I'm going to need that clip.
And make it... Put a little robot effect on it, too.
I am
massive system failure. I think that if there is anything conspiratorial that I would entertain, well, I would entertain anything because I'll hear you. I may not agree with you, but the idea that he might have been groomed by somebody is interesting to me. I would like to explore that a little bit more and see more about that. But right now I'm saying this is a massive system failure.
You think?
Oh, I think it's a massive system failure. I think it's incompetence all the way around.
I do, too. And I'll lean into what Jim Carafano said, too, that it's leadership.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that this administration prioritizes the right things ever. I think everything is always political. I think everything is always political. And I think that the results are this, where the things that were supposed to matter the most weren't the priority ever. So, of course, you get massive system failures.
Yeah.
But going back to what we heard Rick Scott say and other people say in this hearing today, that if you don't come out with more information to squash this stuff, people's minds are going to run wild. Now, the YouTube poll, which I'm looking at results as they're coming in right now, is very close. We have a divided audience, so we need to know what you think about it. Get on the Any Fry YouTube channel, vote in the live chat poll. Gary said, I voted system failure, but given the competency of the libs, this could have been what they thought was an ironclad plan. All right. Let us know what you think. Annie Fry YouTube channel. We'll give you the results in an hour. Don't go away.